Marty Hawk joins us here on a very sunny Wednesday afternoon. Hopefully your flowers and trees and everything are blooming wonderfully. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. And my puppy dog is screaming in the background. I thought I really had put her to bed.
You're all right. If it gets too bad, we'll figure out something. But we know you're busy. Last week you told us about how the community justice group, they weren't going to meet anymore. Or what, did we ever find a conclusion on that? And we know the State House is awfully busy as well. I bet you've got a full list for me here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Well, I do. I have some good news, it appears, as well. But this whole justice group that was meeting, and then they weren't going to, and then somebody said, well, we want to go ahead, and then the commissioners are saying, no, they want to establish this other group, and it was back and forth, and I said, are we ever going to get off of the dime here, and whatever. And then I'm getting something from the county council saying, well, they want to establish their own group and have all these people appointed to it, and they're supposed to be giving us financial advice how to move forward. It's like the time frame they're supposed to tell us is right when we're supposed to be working on our county budgets. So that looked really like that was a big ask to try to get something this gigantic done that quick, but there's evidently some support for that. But the really good news, I just, what a sigh of relief this morning when I'm hearing the commissioners and the sheriff's staff talk together in what I felt like was a very positive fashion. Now, did it mean that what they were talking about was a positive thing? No. I mean, they were talking about the people who had mental health issues in the jail and how they wanted to work together to work with their program for that and so forth. But the fact that we finally had this back and forth conversation between the commissioners and the sheriff's department talking about something that the community's been talking about is how best to serve the people in our jail that are already there who need that support and help, and how we can't wait another 4 or 5 years to start that. So, to me, that sounded like good news. The funny thing is that when Commissioner Githens started talking about it in response to some of the things that the Chief Deputy Parker was speaking of, he actually already had all of that written down to discuss with her, and she had also had it put together, and it clearly you could tell it was not something they had figured out in advance. They each had heard about ways to move forward. So I just thought that was, I just had to share that with some good news, because for so long it seemed all we could do was fuss with one another, and I suppose that's not too unusual. But one of the things that Deputy Parker was telling the commissioners is that there are 35 inmates at the jail right now who are considered by the jail social workers to be severely mentally ill. And that's about 17% of the jail's current population, which is at 204. And before he said that, he also made it clear that there's many serving at the jail who have severe mental illness, who have charges of or in there because of having committed some pretty violent acts, or at least that's what they've been accused of. I don't know how many's been actually, you know, whether they're serving time after they've already been through the court date or where they are on that. I know one of the things I asked about at the council meeting last night is that we need to find out why we are holding so many people for the Department of Corrections. We are taking up a lot of beds in our county jail for the state Department of Corrections. And I'm wondering if it's tied back to the fact that we do have the state parole office here, I think it's District 5 is what they call it, and that's several counties. So are we then, if those folks are getting in trouble when they are here on parole, and then are they ending up in our jail? You know, I just want to figure out the tracking of.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting as well, because we know the mental health crisis didn't start yesterday either.
Right. And because it is getting worse instead of better, they can probably give you statistics about how much safer the community is now and everything. Show me anything you want to in writing. All I have to do is talk to anybody who's been downtown or wherever. Do they feel as safe as they did 10 years ago? And the answer is no. And this has a lot of it to do with the drug abuse and the mentally ill.
It's a big problem. It's not just an easily solved problem either. That's
no, and you're not going to just have it will probably take several tries and different avenues to try to figure out what we are going to do, but we can't do it on our own. We simply cannot save the world, and so we have to make sure that what we do is helping those that we need to help and encourage the other counties to make sure they're not sending us their problems. So how you can go about doing that.
That was going to be my next question for you. So, it is a very, very large and overwhelming issue. That is absolutely,
right.
Absolutely
and
true.
And that having to do with the state issues, that House Bill 1006 that so many people were talking about was really going to be helpful, and that was a method to try to address some of these problems. But it also is tied to having a mental health facility in not every county, but then the other counties could, if they find somebody who's in trouble, rather than putting them in jail, they'd bring them to that facility, but you would have to release them within a certain, there's a deadline. You can't just put somebody in a locked facility against their will, unless they've been charged or whatever. You know, once someone is placed in a facility such as that, you have to have a deadline for which they have to be released back out. Either go to be told by the courts they have to go to some other facility, or you have to release them. So
yeah, the courts get off easy here too, in the sense that you know what? Well, we'll just do this, we'll do that, and I don't mean that in the sense that they're not making the right decision, but if there aren't places to put all of these folks who need this help, are we relying on private business to do? How does this even work?
Well, that was part of what was discussed at the state level as well. So, you know, maybe we should be working with a group that already has a facility such as that. What would that be here? Would that be our hospital, which is not the easiest? You know, they don't have a lot of extra help hanging around there.
Well, I don't think it was built for that purpose either.
No, and I mean, just logically thinking through this, if the other counties could, let's say if that facility was here, and the other counties could bring people here.
Absolutely. Put on somebody else's dime. That's right.
And then would you not have to have security there? You're not just going to have nurses and mental health folks and not have some kind of security. These are folks that...
Look, I'm not saying that's wrong at all. That's not where I'm going with this. But who nominates? We'll just have Bloomington do it. How do we get to that point?
Well, and I think it is one of those where we're not going to be required to do it. We would be asking to do it, but we have a lot of people thinking, this is going to be our salvation. But then, does that mean that the?
Oh. That's 2 days in a row I've been hung up upon. Marty Hawk will be right back. She always will be. But this is an interesting thing. If we're going to be a regional center for those who don't have the financial resources to handle these issues, then our friends at the state, in my opinion, humbly stating my opinion, should be writing checks, shouldn't they? I would think so. Marty is back. She's joining us as she reconnects. Marty, my point there before we were unceremoniously disconnected was, if we're going to be volunteered as or the regional hub, our friends in Indianapolis better get their checkbook out and start sending some money this way to take care of some of those angles that you just pointed out before our disconnection.
Well, and I don't think they have all of that. I've studied that bill, and I just don't think all those small details are worked out. I know that, you know, I meet with the people, the county councils, the state association, the group that's working over the legislation, and I ask them if anybody had seen dollars in there or a method of transportation, because if at the time frame when you have to let those folks back out, which is only just a few days, they could only stay there just a few days before the judges say do this or that, then is there the other counties going to have somebody right there to pick up those folks, or are they going to be getting out on our streets, and then we will be responsible to do the transport, because transport is a very expensive proposition. It means you have to have more vehicles. You have to have the staff to do that. And also, you have to have either some kind of a mental health professional working in that facility. And this is not a facility that just is going to be open just part of the day. This is going to be a 24-hour facility, it would seem to me, from the way it's been presented. So even though if something gets passed at the state, we had better be figuring out and not just jumping on and say, oh, we want to be first to be thought of doing that. Find out how we're going to do it, where we're going to do it, and move forward with that. Because, for instance, this morning, there was a group that wanted to have a winery, and
right on the northwest side
right,
of town.
And yeah. The commissioner said they've heard from the neighbors that the neighbors don't want it, and so they have to listen to the neighbors. Well, if that be the case with the winery, that'll be the same case with a mental health facility or a jail or whatever. If that means, or does that mean they'll only listen to the neighbors if it's a winery, but not if it's a mental health facility? Those are all big, big questions, and they don't get answered overnight. And everybody's just going to really be trying their best to do their best. And so we've got to be laser focused on what our job is and be prepared when it comes our time to make the decision. One of the things that I'm most concerned about is with our health department. You know, we've had Clark Britton has been appointed.
Tom Sharp retired or decided he resigned, and that was that.
But we have lost that. The turnover in that department has been, I mean, it's not even a revolving door where they're coming around and coming back. They're just, that door's just been open and people are just leaving. And so we have to figure out what we have to do to stop, you know, either we're not doing a good job of hiring, or maybe, you know, one wants to work in that department, or, I mean, what
well,
is
did,
it?
Did Penny Cottle retire after?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
So Tom Sharp resigned, Penny Cottle retired. Those are people that have been there a long time. Is the support staff beneath them also not sticking around?
That's it. Their staff, they're having a whole changeover. Now, you know, maybe that's just the way things happen after you've had somebody on board for that many years. Remember the dust-up we had when we no longer had the same sheriff. We had a new sheriff that was always. Hopefully that'll all settle down. But one of the people that they're talking about that the county council wants to have on this special new committee they put together has to do with somebody from the health department. That very same person, I was just told a while ago, just left the health department. So that'd have to be a brand new person.
Well, this new committee they're going to put together, is it legally binding? Is it advisory? How does that work?
It's an advisory. It's one commissioner, three county council people, which is not the majority, but three county council Then there was one city council, and then there was some other people from, I think it was the sheriff. I don't have the list in front of me. But hopefully it's not going to be the same thing as what they've already been through. I thought at the time that they formed the very first one that, and I said so publicly, and that's been 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it first started, I said, they just need to let the justice side look at the suggestions here on the study that they had done and have them come to us with what they need to do whatever project they want. And at that time, we weren't just speaking of a jail. Because, really, the justice side of county government doesn't want to be told by the commissioners or the council what to do. I mean, they're elected people. Why would they want to listen to some other elected person? They're elected to do their job. The judges and the prosecutor and, you know, the sheriff, they're all elected to do their thing.
But you're all intertwined together. That's the interesting part of it.
Absolutely. And so then if they did their part and said, oh, this is what we need to make things work better, because they work that every day. And then they could come and say, these are things we need. And in the meantime, the county council could be looking for what's it going to cost a bond, and what's it going to be a total amount of what we think is a high end for a bond, and then that's the money we have to work with, and what can we do for that kind of money, and then the commissioners can be trying to find something that, where we can put it together for that kind of money. We all have our own part to play, but you know what? I wish them the very best. I mean, if they have time for this committee, and I don't know whether they're going to hire someone then to come in and help them organize and
a non-binding committee gets to hire somebody to organize it?
Well, let me just say they cannot count on the county council staff and auditor staff who will be working on our budgets. That's our job, you know, to get the...
Yeah, good point.
That's right in the middle of getting our budgets.
That's your legal requirement. Job is such a thrown about word. That is your legal requirement. That's my...
We ran for that responsibility. We took the oath. That's what we were going to do. So that's our requirement. And so for this other committee, and they're going to need a lot of financial advice, it seems to me, if they're going to give us, they're going to give us fiscal advice. So are they going to say, we want you to do this and figure it out, or are they going to have somebody there who would be selling bonds and who would be figuring out different jails and what it costs to operate those and so forth? I don't know what they're going to do. I guess we'll find out.
We will.
Be making a presentation very shortly. But we did receive a report from Financial Solutions, our fiscal projections. And a part of that, of course, was telling us that we may not know until the state is through, which is supposed to be Friday, maybe as far as Saturday, what our growth projection is. So when you look at your projections over the next 2 or 3 years, and the way we were able to figure it in the past was what was the last 6-year average income statewide, personal income, and then you can figure out what that average is so you know what your projected levy growth is. Well, the state is up there talking about changing how we're going to do that. So until they're through, we really don't know what our projections are. And in addition to which, if that annexation should actually go through, then the city will be getting a lot more money of the public safety tax and all of the other taxes. So we're going to be setting on a lot to have to work through this summer. And I'm looking forward to it.
When are they required to tell you what your growth rate or quotient's going to be? When is there a requirement for that, or is it just when they get around to it?
Well, they're supposed to be telling us, but it's always, ever since they decided we would do it on the 6-year average, personal income average, then that's the way we had done it for years. And yes, there was a requirement for them to tell us what that growth quotient was. Well, right now, at the state level, they are up there deciding to change that because the legislators in session right now. And they're trying to change that because throughout the state, everyone's assessed value grew so high because it was tied to market value, and the state's trying to react by saying, we're going to change the growth quotient. We're going to change how much growth these taxing units can put on, and we don't know what that's going to be. We'll know by sometime over the weekend.
Well, when I talk to you next week, we'll know. Yeah.
But right now, I'm going to tell you that they are still in caucus up there. Then one more time session at 5:30. So I've been watching all day. They go in. They have their caucus. They figure out what they're going to try to do. They try to come back into session. Then they go into recess and go back into caucus or into their conferences and figure out which bills they can move forward. And that's what they're doing right now. Right now, today, as we sit here. So I really don't want to be able to move forward with telling you one thing or the other, but we just have to make sure that whatever is in there that will cover, because there's a lot of information on that 1499 that has to do with food and beverage tax. There's a whole lot more in there than just the food and beverage tax. There's a whole lot of...
Well, of course there is. Well,
I mean, that's
stick it right in the back door. There you go. Yeah. Put it in the back pocket. Then it's hard to... Yeah, it's hard to worry about that.
There's a lot of things for tax relief and so forth having to do with anything. With food and beverage has to do with a lot of things throughout the state.
Yeah, it has to go with getting passed or moved or in there, or the process.
But it looks like that portion won't be voted on until tomorrow. So we'll just have to see where we stand.
Yep.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't know. As of right now, if it would pass the way that 1499, if it should pass the way it was put in there, with Gaskell's amendment, and then sent over to conference, then it would still be, the city would have their own plan and their own spending plan. They'd have to do that. The county would have their own, and it had to be done by a certain time. And if they didn't spend according to their plan, then in July of 2025, the tax would be void, and it would no longer be possible to collect it. Well, that doesn't mean it's going to go away. The city could go ahead and put their plan together, spend it according to their plan. The county could do the same thing. And then if they could figure out they were going to do a convention center with it, they could. If they decided they want to do something else, because there was that whole list of things that they could do. But we don't know what's going to happen with that. So by tomorrow, I bet we'll know.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Are we having fun yet?
Well, we always have fun on Wednesdays, Marty. Almost too much fun by the letter of the law, that's for sure. Enjoy the sunshine. We appreciate you keeping an eye on all of this heavy lifting in all multiple directions. And, boy, it's going in about every direction. So when we get back together next week, I'll I can't wait.
Well, listen, I would hate to have you miss one episode as the Monroe County government turns.
And it does feel a little soap opera-ish, but I'm glad somebody is keeping score, so to speak. Great job, Marty, as always. Enjoy your sunshine today, and we'll get caught up next week.
Thank you, and don't forget to get out and vote, folks.
Oh, yeah. We'll tell you all about how you can do that, absolutely. Good reminder, Marty. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.